My guest at this time is Dr. Bonner Cohen, Senior Fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research. Right now, firefighters are battling the largest wildfire in California history, and that's saying quite a bit. Some of the fires out there are attributed to arson, but that only explains why they started, not why they're consuming record amounts of territory. So we'll talk about it for the next few minutes. And Dr. Cohen, thanks so much for being with us.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
This is how the UK Express reported it earlier in the week when this Mendocino Complex fire officially got named the largest in California history. It says California wildfires are now the largest in the state's history, with dramatic videos showing authorities scrambling to battle the blaze with ominous warnings that the worst is yet to come. At that point, it said the fire had burned over 160,000 acres of land, and at that point, less than 50% contained. So we see this every year with wildfires, particularly out in the western part of the United States, California seemingly in particular. But my question for you is there something unique about this fire as to why it's consuming so much land? You'll have some climate activists suggesting that it's made the conditions drier and therefore more fuel. And I know there are some on the right who would suggest that policy might be to blame here. How do you think we got to this point?
Well, of course, climate does play a role in all of this, but not in the way that environmentalists would have you believe. The climate in California is arid, always has been, always will be. And at times, it is subject to droughts and sometimes even extreme droughts. Now, California has recently recovered from an extreme drought, which was about the eighth extreme drought that California has suffered over the past 100 years. So people who live in California should know about the prevailing weather conditions, the prevailing climatological conditions there. This dry climate is exacerbated by strong winds. Strong winds in Southern California, the infamous Santa Ana winds, and strong winds in Northern California. It is not uncommon for these winds to gust up to 60 or 70 miles per hour. And when you have a wildfire, whether it was started by arson, a careless person throwing a cigarette here, there, yonder, or whatever, these things are going to spread. So if you have conditions which are favorable to wildfires, and then for purely climatological reasons, and then you have strong winds that can make those fire spreads, you're asking for trouble. But there's something else going on here. There's one thing that has not received the attention it deserves. We see these people losing their homes. Sometimes completely they're gone, their whole life savings, everything they've inherited and bought and what have you, gone up in smoke. A lot of the people who live in areas that are frequently hit by wildfires live there because, quite frankly, they can't afford to live anywhere else. The coastal cities of California, particularly the San Francisco Bay Area, going south down the coast to Los Angeles and San Diego, the home prices there are astronomically high, among the highest in the nation, and continuing to go high. This means that people of even good upper middle class income and beyond simply can't afford to live there. So where do they have to choose to live? They have to move away from the cities, and as you move away from the coastal cities, you're heading into a part of the world where you're going to see a forest and you're going to have wildfires. So one of the things that should have been done in California a long, long time ago is reversing the policies that exist in so many California cities that promote extremely high housing costs and force people to live out in areas which are prone to wildfires.
That could possibly raise a debate over price controls or something like that. But what I want to focus on is what else might be leading to the size of the fires in addition to what they're consuming here. When you have state governments that are advocating strict environmental policies, they're not likely to want to do much logging or thinning out of forests. And I know conservative activists believe that that's a factor here, too. What are the facts tell us?
Yes, and that is a factor. California has a lot of public land, federal land and state land, and there are strict restrictions on a lot of that regarding logging and even removal of dead and diseased trees. And what you have here is you have tinder boxes brought to you courtesy of either the federal government or the state government, or in, tragically, in some cases, both. So when these fires get started, they move into areas which are sometimes overgrown or otherwise flooded with trees that should have been removed a long, long time ago. Fires are actually a perfectly normal and healthy way of dealing with overgrown forests. But when those forests are mismanaged, as U.S. Forest Service land has been mismanaged not for years but for decades with overgrown forests, these forests are an open invitation to the tragic wildfires that we're seeing here. Now, if we had decent forest management, yes, we would continue to have wildfires in California, but they wouldn't be as catastrophic as they are today.
So what can we do about it? What policies, they couldn't stop people from setting fires or having them grow in arid climates, but what policy or lack of policy would help here?
The Bush administration did take a, this is the George W. Bush administration, did take a step in the right direction against the objections of environmentalists and their allies in Congress, and we're able to push through something called the Healthy Forest Initiative, which does allow for some thinning of forest. It didn't go far enough because that's as far as we could possibly get given the political landscape that we're facing at the time. What I would like to see, particularly in the in light of the catastrophe that so many people are facing in California today, is to go back and revisit that law and make it even easier for Forest Service personnel to thin trees that they know should be removed so that when the next wildfire comes along, it will not enter a tinder box and devastate thousands upon thousands of acres of land and destroy God knows how many homes.
What's the response from environmentalists or politicians who usually embrace their agenda to the evidence you just laid out, explaining that if you don't thin it out, these are going to get worse and worse, and it can lead to property loss, loss of human life, and more? What's their reaction?
Their reaction is very simple. Leave it alone. Don't harm nature. Don't interfere. Let nature take its course. And that's as far as they that's as far as they are willing to go. It's an interesting way of looking at the world in which you place a higher value on a nature that really doesn't exist in the way in which they mean it, at the expense of human beings who are caught up in the grotesque mismanagement of nature. So environmentalists will go to extraordinary lengths to defend a status quo. Which is causing huge devastation, affecting the lives of millions and millions of people, and I might add, ironically, the quality of air that people are breathing in California. You can tighten up the Clean Air Act as much as you wish, but once you have these forest fires taking off the way they are or going out west, the quality of air suffers. It is absolutely filthy. You would think that environmentalists would be deeply disturbed by this. As a matter of fact, they show no signs of doing so whatsoever and will oppose any effort by federal and state officials to at long last carry out sound environmental management of wild areas, the Forest Service areas, and what have you.
Bonner, fascinating to learn about and discuss while we watch these scenes play out in California and elsewhere. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Well, thank you.
Dr. Bonner Cohen is Senior Fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.